Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, we were talking about a lot of different things as some of you are starting off your morning with us now, first hour of the program, reiterating Dr. Chow, who will be on with us, I believe, Friday at Pro Football Doc, says that Patrick Mahomes will play. He's got a great article up at the front page of Outkick. You can go read that at outkick.com, and I think you'll be impressed with all of the details that he lays out about why he believes that Patrick Mahomes will be able to play. So that is a big information out there that is not being talked about very much. We talked about the Tennessee investigation, Dan Patrick with McDonald's alleging that there was money in McDonald's bags, and me going with the Chick-fil-A angle of there's no way they were using McDonald's bags in the South on a college campus. If they were paying anybody with fast food wrappers and bags, it would have definitely been Chick-fil-A. And then we started to segue into this New York Mets GM story where he is alleged to have sent 60-plus messages in a row ending with a nude photo to this foreign reporter. And I said I was going to bring the crew in and we were going to find out. I said I don't think I've ever sent three unsolicited texts in a row without an answer, certainly not to any member of the opposite sex. And that is a wacky, crazy, like socially unacceptable, in my opinion, move. Danny G, what do you think the most text you've ever sent to anyone? And by the way, I'm curious if you have a story like this, 877-996-6369. Danny G, what about you? What's the most text that you've sent to somebody without getting a response?
And keep in mind, I book guests for the show, and I've never sent more than three. For instance, that last guy who we got on for an Animal Thunderdome special, who kept the cigar in his mouth and pried the dog out of the alligator's mouth, sent them two messages, and if they didn't reply back to the second one, he and his wife, I would have left it alone. This guy is psycho, this Jared Porter. And something else that stood out to me about the story, it says here, Porter acknowledged texting with a woman. He initially said he had not sent any pictures of himself. When told the exchanges show he had sent selfies and other pictures, he said that the more explicit ones are not of me. Those are like kind of like joke stock images.
Yeah, yeah, it's a tough angle to go with. Why would you say he was going to get fired immediately? Now, it happened 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know what – I don't know this guy. I don't know very many baseball GMs in general, right? It's not like I'm some savant of baseball GMs. But I just read that entire article, and it was like every sentence was more of a cringe factor. And – I mean, what a weird thing to do. Dub, you are the youngest on the show. Therefore, you grew up basically in the text message generation. Have you ever heard of anything like this where you send 60 unanswered texts in a row?
Think about that number.
Your phone is just continuing to blow up and you don't respond at all. Like if you just scrolled through and looked, if anybody ever showed me their phone and they were like, yeah, this guy or this girl has sent me 60 straight texts that I haven't responded to, I would be like, that person is psychotic.
No doubt. And as for me, I've probably sent 5 or 6 or 7, but they're usually to buddies complaining about bad beats. And it's like at 3 a.m. and I've had a couple glasses of bourbon.
Yeah.
And then they'll eventually text me back like the next day. But 62, what an unbelievable, that's like a great round of golf.
I mean, I read this and I was like, I don't see any way, even before I got to the sending the explicit photos, I'm like, how do you have a GM who is in charge of your team and they've sent 62 texts like this? Like, they have major psychological issues. I wonder if at some point he's going to come out and be like, hey, I had alcohol issues. And I mean, maybe you get super drunk and you're just like texting people like crazy, but it's still really weird behavior. but at least you could argue, hey, I've recognized that I've had a problem and blame it on something other than psychological instability. I mean, Eddie, if you got 60 plus texts in a row from somebody and you didn't respond, I mean, that would be so insanely weird, right?
Yes. Yes, it would be very, very weird. Yeah, this guy is obviously pretty pathetic. You know, take a hint. But I mean, if you're asking me how many times or how many texts I have sent without getting a response, I'm sure it was with my wife when she like went somewhere and then didn't let me know like she was there and then turned her phone off and I'm like, are you there? Are you okay? What's going on? Calling, nothing. And that's happened a couple of times with really annoying me on that one.
Yeah, your spouse probably is the person that you would text with the most. And I can't even remember very many times where I would have texted my wife three times in a row and not gotten a response. I do remember one time that she had us locked out of the house and like you're calling and you're like, hey, can you get in? Like all that stuff. Like that can be frustrating. But I mean, that's a totally different scenario. In general, I mean, that is just so super weird to think about from this Mets GM to make this decision. And I don't know, like, I think about this, I probably get emailed more, and I get, like, if somebody emails me something and I don't respond to it, presume that I'm not interested, right? Like, I'm busy, I get a lot of emails all day. If you're reaching out to me unsolicited and requesting a favor from me with a busy time, and then people be like, hey, I don't know if you got my last email. Hey, I don't know if you got my last email. And sometimes I'll be like, yeah, I got your emails. I don't care about any of them. Stop emailing me. Like every now and then I'll do that. And that's after like three or four emails where I haven't responded. If I'm not responding, it means I'm not interested. If there's a guy out there who needs to hear this or a girl, if you're interested in somebody and you text them two or three times and they don't respond, they got your text. They aren't interested. You're not going to suddenly wow them by sending 60-some-odd consecutive texts to their phone. And I'm not saying, by the way, like everybody would want every text message that they've ever sent to be public, right? I mean, like you kind of think that it's a private text message chain between you and somebody else, so I get that. But when it's just you 60 consecutive times, probably an issue with you. And maybe a psychological issue. What did you think when you saw this story, Eddie?
Roberto or Eddie?
Yeah, sorry, Roberto.
This guy definitely has some kind of psychotic issues. Going back to my number, I would say the most has been in like five, and it was probably my wife because I was like worried she wasn't responding. But five at the most. This guy definitely has some psychotic issues. 4 years ago, he was working with the Cubs as a director of professional scouting, so obviously he felt empowered. So he felt like he was some kind of important guy. And then this is so New York Mets, right? They hired this guy as a GM in December, and they fired him. Last year they hired Carlos Beltran. I had to fire him last year too.
I appreciate the Mets taking the University of Tennessee out of the headlines in many ways by being even more incompetent than Tennessee in many respects.
This guy was desperate. He was trying to show off hotels and the restaurants he was going to. It says in one of these exchanges where he sent 17 pictures in a row, the first 15 pictures were of the nice hotel and its restaurants, and the 16th was then a photo of a bulge in pants.
What a weird dude. I mean, first of all, like, what girl is like, oh, my God, you're staying at such a nice hotel. I want to see 16 pictures of it.
And then maybe after the 30th, you think you would have thought, like, all right, maybe this is too much.
How
I might not be able
hotel
to get a GM job in the future.
I mean, I went to the White House, and I didn't take 16 photos in the White House. I might have taken four or five. How unbelievable does your hotel have to be for you to take 16 photos of the hotel? I can't even imagine. Like, if I slept in the Lincoln bedroom at the White House, I might take maybe 16 photos from inside the White House. I wouldn't send anybody else 16 photos. But I've stayed in a lot of hotels in my days, and some of them are pretty decent. I don't ever remember taking a photo of my hotel. Like, maybe my wife or kids, you know, out in front of a fountain at a hotel or something. Maybe them, you know, like, it's such a weird thing to do. I do remember And we'll have to talk about this in the Bachelor Report. They used to film a decent amount of The Bachelor at my hotel. I would always stay at the Intercontinental back when you could actually travel for television at the intersection of Avenue of the Stars and Pico and Motor and all that area. Like, there's the Intercontinental right there by the Fox lot in West L.A. And I would stay right there, and I remember taking a couple of photos when they were doing Bachelor filming, because I could lean out of my hotel room and I could see them filming that season of The Bachelor at the hotel. And like, they had a sign up, "Hey, Bachelor filming going on here." And I was like, "Oh, that's pretty cool." So that's the only thing I can legitimately remember ever taking a photo of at that hotel where I stay a lot of time over the years. And what a weird like thing to do in general. Dub, do we have anybody who wants to weigh in on the phones before we go to break here?
Yeah, we got a couple callers. Let's start with Carl in Mobile, Alabama.
Carl, what texting thoughts do you have here?
Hey, I just wanted to share that, yeah, I don't have any except for my wife blowing my phone up when I wasn't responding to her in some kind of emergency situation. It was 8, and she was upset. But I wanted to let you guys know, in Alabama, which my wife deals with domestic violence, that is a charge of domestic violence, third harassment. So in the age of texting, that's almost like an attempted rape 60 times. I mean, you guys are charged and serve time for that here.
If like a harassment, stalking, I would imagine. Thanks for the call. That's a good point. I mean, there probably are statutes in different jurisdictions where if you are texting a girl in particular's phone like 60 times, that does feel like harassment and or stalking. I mean, that's an interesting point that could be a criminal issue in many different places. And by the way, same thing would go for a girl. I mean, I'm sure. Didn't we have a story a while back about some woman who had gone crazy and texted a guy like some insane number of times?
I remember that.
I feel like we talked about it on the show. And I remember the conversation being like, how in the world could you even have the time to send that many texts? And obviously we live in an era in our industry where people exchange phone numbers a lot without a romantic interest associated with it. So it used to be like, if you're going back even to the 1990s before everybody had cell phones, getting somebody's number was a sign that you were potentially interested in them, right? Hey, can I get your number? It was a big deal. Did you get a number? Like, you can think about how that would have gone. Somebody jots down their number on a cocktail napkin or something. In a pre-cell phone era, that was a big deal. That was an expression of interest from a woman or a man potentially in you. That's certainly not the case anymore, right? Because everybody for their jobs, particularly in the world of sports or in our jobs, like, I book 90% of our guests just by sending text messages. It's not like I send very many emails. It's not like I send very many, make very many phone calls to get guests. Almost all of our guests for radio are booked via text. And so everybody kind of exchanges numbers in a way that's different than back in the day. Dub, anybody else want? I think we got somebody else who wants to weigh in.
Yeah, one more. Matt in Indiana.
Matt, what you got for me?
What's up, guys? So I formulated for myself the basketball game rule, right? We've got the tip-off, halftime, we got the buzzer. The tip-off is, hey, you know, you say whatever you want to say, you're greeting, hello. The halftime, you didn't get a response. We're gonna make some adjustments. And if you have to send the buzzer text, that means it's, I'm sorry, it's over, I'm out. That's if you send it. So that's the rule. That's the basketball game rule. I formulated this rule because I woke up to, it was not 60, but it was 15 to 20 texts while I was engaged to someone else, my current wife. Somebody sent me 15, 20 texts, and then guess what? She didn't get a response. So you know what happened? She went to Facebook and wrote just crazy inappropriate things that you could never repeat just to get my attention. And that was bad, horrible. And that's all I got.
Thanks for the call. That's actually a good analogy for guys out there. Opening tip, halftime, and then you're out. If you have to go 3, then that's the only way to go. If you haven't gotten a response, honestly, after 2, it probably means somebody's not interested. Because if you really are interested in someone and their name pops up on your phone and you get a text from them, you're going to respond to one of the first 2 texts that they send.
Amen. You should be out at halftime, I think.
Right? I think for most guys, for any guy out there who needs to hear it, it also is way more attractive to seem like you aren't desperate than to just go way overboard. Now, if there's like let's say there's 6 months in between, like you meet somebody, you shot them a text, you never really heard anything, and then you see them 6 months later and you have a conversation, like there are extenuating circumstances. I'm talking about within a relatively short period of time. Like if you text somebody twice in a week and they don't respond, that's probably a sign they're not very interested in you. And certainly if you go three times and they don't respond, that should be the end of it. Like your relationship should be over. They're moving on. You're moving on. We're moving on to Shannon Spake. She's up next with us. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
I'm curious what your answer is. You can hashtag us with Outkick, and Shannon Spake can check and see your answers as well. How many texts in a row without a response is acceptable? Outkick audience right now, respond. Just go hashtag Outkick with what your answer is. We bring in now Shannon Spake. You're around my age, Shannon, so you didn't grow up in the text message generation. So you remember back in the day giving your phone number to somebody was a big deal, but now it's so commonplace. You know, I don't know how many phone numbers you, how many people you have saved in your phone. Most people out there have, you know, hundreds at this point, especially if they've had the same phone number for a long time. When you saw this story, did you read the story about the Mets GM?
Yes. Yeah, I've seen it.
Were you like, oh my God, this is so cringeworthy, uncomfortable? Or were you like, this is totally unsurprising to me? This is what women in sports deal with all the time.
No, I would definitely say women in sports don't deal with this all the time. I think that from time to time. So I know that you've been talking all day, like what is acceptable, right?
Yes.
So are we talking about people that are our husbands? Because I've blown my husband's phone up many, many times when he doesn't get back to me, right? Whether it
yes.
be like a text message. If I'm not hearing back from him and it's something important and we need to get it done, like I'm blowing him up. Because while I may be this mature woman now, we all have a little bit of crazy in us. And back in the day, we didn't, like, we had beepers, right? Did you have a beeper?
I didn't have, I had friends who had beepers. They were all dealing drugs, by the way, so.
No, yeah. I was not dealing drugs. In Fort Lauderdale, it was the cool thing to have.
No,
beepers.
I remember the beeper generation. There were kids in the high school that had beepers. And for people out there who don't remember that era, like the idea of having a, yes. So I do remember that would have been like what, like 92, 93
yes.
was the wheelhouse of the beeper.
Yeah. Because the cell phones were the size of shoeboxes.
Yeah,
remember?
That's right.
Like,
and also
had, like,
super expensive, super, the Zach
yes.
Morris cell phone.
Yeah. $200 a minute.
Yeah. Oh
absolutely.
Yeah. It was crazy.
Oh, but I've blown people's beepers up when I was younger, for sure, ex-boyfriends. Even, like, today, like, if, like I said, if my husband doesn't get back to me, it'll be like, are you alive? Are you alive? Are you alive? And then I secretly hope, like, he is alive, because God forbid, like, something were to happen. And, like,
yes.
This is the crazy thing that, you know, the ambulance found in his cell phone.
Yeah.
So, yes, I have definitely been, I'm guilty of doing that even to today, and I'm guilty of doing it to ex-boyfriends when I was younger, but not to people that I don't know who don't respond. I'm talking people I have relationships with. I would get a little psycho crazy
so
with the cell phone beep.
When you see, like, I see that, like, and the I felt like the every paragraph of that story was just so cringeworthy, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
hey, I'm taking a picture of the hotel. Here's the hotel restaurant. Like, all of it, like, if you, like, it's just so uncomfortable, like, right? It's just so awkward and uncomfortable and socially maladroit that I just, you know, I feel bad for the girl that she had to deal with it, but I actually just think, like, how could there be someone who is this socially awkward who is capable of rising to a position of prominence? Does that make sense? Like, that was my primary thought as I was going through there, because as socially awkward as he was with this girl, I'm thinking he must be socially awkward with other people as well.
I have had this situation happen, not necessarily with people in sports, but I've had this situation happen where you're just like, I have not replied to this guy's email or this person's email. Don't they get the point? And sometimes
yeah.
you just have to tell them, you know, I mean, sometimes they don't get the point. They don't understand that you're not replying to them. And maybe it just inspires them up even more. But yes, it's very, and it's one of those things where you're like, they don't get the point. Oh my goodness. Sending the pictures. See, that's a new phenomenon too, right? The whole Dick Cheney pictures.
Yes.
Because that wasn't something that that guys when I was going to high school did. I don't care if we had beepers or cell phones or whatever. We weren't getting those on a Saturday morning when we woke up and we're drinking our coffee. And I know nowadays that's the thing that these guys are doing, right? Are you doing this? I mean, who's doing this?
No, I've been married for 16 years. My wife doesn't want to see me naked now. The last thing she wants me to do is send it to her phone.
She would drop her phone, right?
Yeah,
she would be like,
if it worked, I mean, I would send her nude photos all the time. But, I mean, I don't they'd be tasteful, of course. But I have no idea. Like, the idea of taking pictures of my genitals is just ridiculous to me. No pun intended. And
she's like,
and
Clay,
also,
you want to know what'll do it for me? Do the laundry. That'll do it for me.
Yeah. You know what turns me on? You picking the kids up without me having to ask you to pick the kids up. So, no, it's like, I don't think she wants to see nude photos of me. I frankly don't think anybody wants to see nude photos of me. But it is like way more commonplace, certainly, but not out of nowhere, right? Like, hey, here's the hotel I'm staying at, like 60 different text messages. Having said all of this, like the one of the conversations was how common this is. And certainly people have phone numbers. And again, I just go back to the phone number used to be an expression of interest. It's very often now just an expression of, hey, I need your number in order to do our job, right? Like, I mean, this is like in no way an expression of interest like it would have been back in the 90s when getting a girl or a guy's phone number was a big deal because it conveyed that there would be a relationship that extended longer than whatever small face-to-face interaction you might have had.
Right.
But this is kind of, for some people, I guess, like not understanding boundaries and understanding why you got somebody's phone number in the first place, right? Because I do think this is kind of instructive for a lot of guys and girls that are out there. Like, think about what the reaction would be if your text message exchange was written about. How many of them would look awful, right? Like, and part of that's just context, right? Like, you can be making jokes, you can be sarcastic, and without the tone of the conversation conveyed, a lot of people would look awful in their text message exchanges, right? But I do think this is kind of an eye-opening experience for many people who I bet were cringing as they read through it as well.
Well, I mean, this isn't the first time that there's been examples of this that have happened, especially in sports, pictures or inappropriate text messages, emails. I mean, we're in a digital world. Everything is saved. Everything is logged. Everything is right there. So, yeah, you have to be really aware. And again, things do not translate well to text. We know this. We know this 100%. You can make a joke, you can say something, and it just doesn't go over the way that somebody believes that like, hey, this is the way that I interpreted it.
Right.
I've always been like, I think a little like I've always been married since I've been in this industry. So that certainly is a little bit of
that helps, right? Because people can see that you have a wedding ring and they're less likely to hit on you whereas there are a lot of single girls who are in the sports industry that might have a different experience because they're not married at that time.
Or I'm just completely oblivious to it, right? I'm just like, oh, hey, and don't recognize any of that stuff because I don't recognize any of that stuff. So I've been fortunate that I've had that wedding ring and I've navigated through this. And most of my career, I've also had kids. So I could talk to people about their kids and do these types of things. But it happens, you know, I mean, especially when you're a young, beautiful, single woman, and it certainly happens. It's human nature. It's unfortunate, but you do have to be really aware of things that you send out on text messages. And some of this, I mean, this is common sense, right? You don't send, you know, graphic pictures of yourself on a text message or an email. I mean, we just know that doesn't turn out well.
Yeah, and now the guy loses his job from 4 years ago. And I do think that's maybe one of the interesting parts is you can be very much of a different person from 4 years ago, right? So I always think that it's an interesting question, and I don't pretend that there is an easy answer, but to what extent are you going to be defined entirely by your past, no matter what you've done? And this is kind of the big question that I think is out there in general surrounding cancel culture. And I think this guy deserved consequences for what he did, so I'm not saying that. But, you know, if 8 years ago you did something, does that mean that you shouldn't be able to do something? I use an example, Kevin Hart, right? Like, somebody decide they don't like his tweets. He's obviously a comedian trying to be funny, but they decide that jokes that he made on Twitter 10 years ago or whatever the heck it was, disqualify him from hosting the Oscars 10 years later. Well, that doesn't feel right to me, right? This feels like, I, as soon as this story went public, I was like, well, there's no way this guy's going to be able to keep his job. But partly that's because whatever power dynamic was in play, it seemed as if he was using his power to try to take advantage of this woman. And so it directly relates to the job that he's in right now, as opposed to, let's say, a comedian who makes a joke that somebody doesn't like and it's a decade ago. I always think it's interesting what the standard is that's acceptable and not acceptable.
Well, I mean, you see it with the kids, like when they're getting drafted, right? And they have to go back and delete tweets from, you know, when they were 14 that they sent out. And you know, you're not obviously. And I tell my children all the time, I mean, I won't let them be on Instagram things if their friends are doing Instagram stories or whatever, because I do. I mean, you just don't know. They're 11. They could say something. Not that they're going to say anything, but you know, you just get worried that that stuff is out there. I did want to ask you, did you see this story about the young girl that went down to the Cayman Islands that like took off her bracelet and went out? I love this story because this girl got arrested and went to jail for like 30 days for not doing the quarantine down in the Cayman Islands.
What? No, I didn't hear anything about this.
But you're going to love this, right? Because she gets back to the United States of America and takes full accountability for the fact that she took off this bracelet, the fact that she broke the rules, she went to jail. She wasn't blaming anybody else.
What is the rule? What is the rule in the
quarantine? I think she had to quarantine for 2 weeks, and I think they gave her some kind of like monitoring bracelet. And she was there with her boyfriend, who was a professional, I don't know, jet skier, which I didn't even know was a thing, but a professional jet skier who was going to be in some kind of contest. And so she took off her monitoring bracelet, went out to watch him compete, got caught and got arrested and was in jail, I think, for 30 days. I think she was supposed to serve 60. She's come back to the United States now, and she has taken full accountability for what she did, which I think in today's day and age is so rare for like a young 20-something-year-old kid. She's like, yeah, I did it. I deserve to pay the penalty. I deserve to do this. She's been on GMA and everything. And I was talking to my husband about that. And I did want to ask you about it because I feel like we make so many examples of people who don't take accountability. And I love that this young girl has come back and been like, yeah, I did it and it's my fault and I'll pay the price.
Yeah. I need to see that story. I mean, that's a wild story. I can't imagine what it's like. You know, I used to do in my prior life, I don't know what the Cayman Islands criminal justice system is like, but in my prior life, I did. I was a practicing attorney, and I'm still licensed.
No, you weren't. I didn't know that. I didn't know that you did law.
But this actually is going to tie in. I'm still licensed in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Oh. And so as bad as you think American prisons are, mm-hmm. Caribbean prisons are absolute, I mean, just, you know, they're awful. Right? Like, wow. I mean, they don't have anywhere near the same resources, or if you think our prisoners have it rough, like go to a third world country or go to a poor country like many Caribbean islands are, and then go into those prisons and you'll be like, my God, I would infinitely rather be in a United States prison. So when I hear that story, one of the first things I think is, and obviously the Cayman Islands are somewhat wealthy because all of the banking related regulations and all the money that's run through there. But I wonder what the prison-like situation or jail-like situation that she faced for 30 days was. But this ties in because, you know, I do the anonymous mailbag every Tuesday at mm-hmm. Outkick. People can write in questions to me, and I try and solve them. And to your point about people not taking responsibility, the amount of questions that I read where I'm like, yeah, you're the jerk here. You're the person who is in the wrong, right? Like you're trying to blame somebody else. And the reason I'm thinking about this is just yesterday I had a question. A guy writes in and he's like, hey, I work at a job and we get gift cards sometimes at the end of the year. And some of my coworkers got gift cards for doing their jobs and I didn't get one. Should I be complaining about this? And I was like, first of all, my position in general is if you want to buy something and you can't afford it, and you need a gift card to do it, you need to look yourself in the mirror as an adult and figure out why you're making the choices that you are, right? If you're relying on being able to purchase something from a gift card, like you need to just seriously examine your life choices. And certainly you can't whine about it. But I said, you know what? I bet the reason you didn't get a gift card and other of your coworkers did is because you're not a very likable person. And they had to choose, you know, like who's going to get the gift card? And you didn't get it. And the way to get a gift card going forward is not to point out that you didn't get the gift card this year, right? And so I think there's just a huge amount of cluelessness in all of this. And I do like when people just screw up and just kind of say, yeah, I screwed up. I'll own it. Now, God, I would not want to be in jail for 30 days.
I thought this was a great story, though, because I do feel like we talk so much about people who, you know, don't take accountability. And I was like, this is a young woman who could have easily come back here and said, I had to live in these conditions, as you just mentioned. I had to do this. I had to do that. And by the way, she got a negative COVID test, so she could have played that card too, right? So she had the negative COVID test and still had to quarantine. But no, she came back, and her grandmother and her, she's like, yeah, I did it. She's been all over GMA. I think it's a great example. Show my kids. By the way, are you letting your kids watch the inauguration today? How are you dealing with? Are you going to have them?
Well, they're going to be in school because I'm fortunate. Both of my elementary school kids. Well, they're kindergarten and fourth grade. I might flip it on if they were still home. Then my seventh grader will be at school. I'm actually curious whether they might turn it on at his school. I haven't asked, but that is an interesting question. I think I'll flip
on. I was going to have my kids stay home from school. I was actually, I have a meeting that came up, so I can't do it. But we're going to tape it, and I'm going to have them write like a little,
Oh, that's very motherly of you. Educational.
It's historic. Yeah. It's historic, you know. It's not many opportunities that I think you get to see. Obviously, every 4 or 8 years, right? But, I mean, you don't get an opportunity to kind of watch it all play out, and especially with what's been going on in the last year. I think it's a big day. But I was going to keep them out of school and have them watch it, but unfortunately, I can't. But when they get home, we're going to record it and have them write a report on it. You know, my dad's like real big into history, just like you. They were learning the Gettysburg Address, all this stuff. So, yeah, today's a good teaching moment for this mother.
I'm curious what it's going to look like, because usually one of the most entertaining parts to me about the inauguration is gauging the body language of the other politicians who are within camera view of the inauguration, right? Like, so Trump obviously is not going to be there, but I think also they're going to be so socially isolated that it will be somewhat difficult to see everybody else that's there who usually would be in the normal backdrop, meaning, you know, other prior presidents and everything else associated with that. So I will watch, I don't watch a lot of speeches anymore. Just because they're promptered and I can go read the speech if I really care about reading the speech, and I don't like watching the way the news covers them. So I either watch it live, but if it's going to be like an hour long speech, I'm like, I can't watch this. But I think the over under for Biden's speech was 20 minutes. So that doesn't sound like an incredible commitment of time.
Yeah, I just think it's a big moment. Like, I do like to kind of keep those on, you know, if there's a, you know, obviously when McCain passed away and they had that huge funeral for him, I watched it because I just thought it was it's a moment in time that, you know, I feel like we don't really appreciate some of those moments anymore because we are flooded with so much on TV and so much that to kind of stop and watch some of these moments that are beautiful. I've seen them all. It looks great with all the flags. Unfortunately, like you said, there's not going to be people there, but I think it does look really spectacular with all of those different flags sort of laid out in the mall there in Washington, D.C. So I still think it's going to be a cool day. You know, it's obviously a historic day. So
yeah, it's interesting.
Somehow kind of deal with my kids.
Getting to go to college in D.C. and seeing all that pomp and circumstance. And as a history guy, that was one of the reasons that I wanted to go to D.C. And certainly every 4 years is a moment in time that will echo for a long time throughout American history. So I imagine many of our listeners, whether they voted for him or not, will be watching as they always do. Shannon, we will talk to you next week. Appreciate the time. Try to stay out of trouble on your cell phone until then.
I'll take it easy on my husband with it.
And by the way, what are the odds that the jet ski girlfriend would be so responsible? That's also a big upset, I think.
Jet ski, professional jet skier. I missed my calling.
There you go. Boom. That's Shannon Spake. We'll come back, close out second hour next. This is Outkick on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Now back to Clay Travis and the Farmers, Outkick the Coverage Studios.
How many times do you think you're going to mess up now that we have a new title sponsor for the show?
I think I'm all right. The first week I said the G word.
A lot.
A lot. Yep. But I think I'm okay now.
What about Dub? We said you were going to keep track. I mean, I've done it a bunch, but I haven't done it recently. I probably just jinxed myself.
It's been a good week so far, but yeah. I'm waiting for the next few days for sure.
There's no doubt. By the way, want to reiterate this. We did it last week, I think. If you want to interact with other OutKick listeners, as opposed to just texting, and by texting I mean tweeting me at Clay Travis, if you put the hashtag OutKick in whatever your opinion might be about what's going on during the course of the show, you guys can interact with each other. I think that's a cool idea that maybe we can debut here in 2021. Whatever the position is on any topic, any subject out there, whatever, if you want to react to it and you want other people to be able to see what you are saying, as opposed to having to jump into my mentions and read all about them, you can get hooked up and just scroll, just have the OutKick hashtag. We've seen a lot of that. I know it's an easy way for the guys on the show to follow as well. If you're not tagging every single person different on the show, just use the hashtag OutKick. Any opinion that you have that you want to share, that you want other people to be able to see throughout the course of the show. Is this a genius idea or a potential disaster, Danny G?
No, I like it. When we debuted it, what was it, last week?
We tried it last week, yeah. And I was kind of blown away by how many people immediately kind of took to it. And I just want to make sure that I'm reiterating. And by the way, you can do it for any OutKick-related content all day long if you're wanting to interact with people, because it's hard for me to even hardly keep up with all the different mentions that are going on all day long every day. So I'm probably not going to be interacting with you based on your opinion, just FYI. But there are a lot of OutKick audience out there that may enjoy interacting with each other. And so, again, just use the hashtag yeah. OutKick anytime you want to interact with anything that's out there.
And a lot of listeners were tagging their affiliate, which was really cool to see.
Yeah, that was also cool to see.
Yeah, what city, a lot of people listening on the app. And it was just really cool to see worldwide where everybody's at.
In fact, let's do that again today. It's Wednesday, but tag us right now with OutKick as a way to just kind of demonstrate how many people are listening right now and where you are listening, how you're listening. It can be satellite radio. It can be later in the day. It can be the podcast. It can be all of our 300-plus AM, FM affiliates. It can be the iHeartRadio app. There are so many different ways to listen to the show now. I'm actually curious in seeing which way you are listening. You can react to anything that's happened in the show so far. You can tell us how many different text messages you would send in a row without getting a response. What's the appropriate number? Hashtag OutKick right now. Challenging all of you out there. Hashtag OutKick. Tell us where you are and how many text messages, and you can interact with other people under that hashtag OutKick. So how many people will do it? I want hundreds, if not thousands of you right now, all simultaneously going to OutKick. Third hour of the show up next, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey is going to join us in the second segment. Interesting topics to get into with him now that college football season is over. Will college basketball season be able to happen? What does he think about the reports out there about the University of Tennessee issues? That will be our guest next. But up next, we dive into the big issues of the day, the AFC and NFC championship games on OutKick.
This is OutKick the Coverage with Clay Travis.